Shut up and sit down.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to the new era of the Jack and Jill podcast. I'm going to be your host, Keegan Culbertson, and my co-host, Jimmy Thatch.
What's going on, you guys?
We have a lot to talk about today. And I think the biggest topic is going to be the NFL playoffs. To be completely honest with you, we got a lot of stuff going on in the NBA. Kyrie, the Nets. I know Jimmy's excited to talk about that one.
That's going to be an interesting topic to talk about, Keegan. I just want to see how the Big Three is doing. I know their first game didn't go so hot for them, but definitely excited for that. But before we get into that, definitely we should start talking about the NFL playoffs just because that is getting close to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, for sure. And me being from Tampa Bay, you already know how I'm rocking with that.
Oh, my God.
But let's start off with the Bills and the Chiefs. The Bills are at the Chiefs. They're in Kansas City, which does play an impact, even though there's no fans. Arrowhead is just somewhere you don't want to be unless it's your home stadium. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
So the big question right now is Patrick Mahomes going to play? That's the main thing. He has a toe injury, and the big one is the concussion. He looked great in his first playoff game this year. I mean, he had 255 passing yards, a touchdown, and he was 21 for 30. So, I mean, what more could you ask from a quarterback in the playoffs? Without Mahomes, I don't know. I think it'll be tough. What do you think?
I definitely do think it's going to be tough, but the Chiefs have been a good team all year long. And you can tell just from last season as well, Patrick Mahomes always been a consistent quarterback. But I do think that he is going to plan on playing regardless, because he's not going to not let his team lead his team to another Super Bowl, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I completely agree. I don't think he's going to sit out. I think he's going to play. He was limited at practice. I don't think he played at all, but I think he's had one other main – it wasn't even – I mean, I think he dislocated his knee last year and then went on to win a Super Bowl. So he had – and their backup didn't play bad at all, in my opinion. Like, Chad Henne, he wasn't awful. He was 6 for 8 for 66 yards. Like, I mean, he did what they needed to do to beat the Browns. And I think that if he can't go, I don't think the Chiefs' run game has been terrible either. You know, like, I don't know if you saw what stats Darrell Williams had. He 13 attempts for 78 yards. He had 6 yards on average. You know what I mean? Like, that's not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I do believe, though, regardless if Pat Mahomes does or does not play, the Chiefs, to me, Keegan, they are a super team in NFL. The players they have,
yeah, I agree.
Regardless with their backup QB, it's going to be insane. Their run game is going to obviously be good. Their tight end, their receivers, it's like their receiving core is obviously not like they're not like one of the top best in NFL. Like, when you look at the players, but the way Pat Mahomes plays, he makes them look like they're top tier receivers.
Yeah, I mean, they have like the Tyreek Hill, right? Well, who's a speedster?
Yeah.
They have the Travis Kelce, but that's easy to. I mean, you could say it's easy to shut down, obviously, from our perspective. But when you're on the field, it's not easy to shut down. But I really think I just think the Bills. I don't know. I have the Bills in this one. To be completely honest with you, I think Josh Allen is just playing way too good. Like, he's destroying other defenses. You saw what he did to Baltimore.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even fun. It's not fun at all to play against him. I mean, and the Chiefs being 27th and their defense being 27th against opposing quarterbacks and 23rd against opposing running backs. I mean, and Josh Allen likes to get loose a little. He likes to run a lot. So, I am scared though, to Stephon Diggs. We're going on the Bills side now. Stephon Diggs, his oblique is still hurting him. And Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs have been, I think, the dynamic duo this year in the NFL.
I agree. They definitely built a bond ever since he got traded there. I do got the Bills as well, Keegan. I do think, to add on to what you said, the Bills are a young team. So obviously so are the Chiefs, but they're young and hungry.
Getting into this Bills defense, I think they just you can say Josh Allen, like I said earlier, is the reason the Bills are going forward. But that defense is just nasty. Like there's no ifs, ands, buts about it. Like that defense is scary to play against right now. When you think to yourself, Josh Norman is I mean, he's on that team. Many people don't even know Josh Norman's on the Bills defense because of how stacked their defense is. You know what I mean? Like they got Mahomes is probably the best quarterback in the NFL, in my opinion, right now. But that defense is just something else, and they're hungry. They want a Super Bowl.
Definitely. I do agree with the hungry part.
Moving on, I think we tackled everything with the Bills and Chiefs. I like I said, I have the Bills. I mean, we could do a little score prediction. I have the Bills winning 24-21 Bills.
Ooh, I think the Bills are going to win by a field goal. I can't really predict the score.
That's 24-21. Yeah. I think
that's a field goal. Like, it's going to be in the double digits for sure. It's not going to be a low scoring game. These are two offensive powerhouses. So definitely, I think it's going to be in the double digits, most likely in the 20s, but it's going to eventually go down to a field goal from either side. But I do have the Bills at the end of the day taking it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think just going over it again, when you look, even the Bills running backs, like, I mean, Zach Moss didn't play last game, but Devin Singletary, I mean, when he gets the ball, he's different. Like he's one of those small guys who's just elusive. So I don't know really if the Chiefs are going to be able to stop them. I know they're second. Okay, so they're 27th, like I said before. They're 27th against opposing quarterbacks. They're 23rd against opposing running backs, but they are second against opposing running back or wide receivers, sorry. I think they're going to run the ball. I think Josh Allen's going to because their film is strictly throwing the ball. When you watch the Bills, you're expecting Josh Allen to throw for 300 yards a game.
Yes.
So I personally think they're going to start running the ball this game. I don't think the Chiefs are going to be ready for it. I think the Bills take this one and head on to their Super Bowl. And then let's get into what I've been waiting for, what we say for last. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau.
Ooh, this is going to be a good game right here.
I don't. People have been talking to me, and I've seen it all over ESPN and stuff, how Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he's a bad man. I understand that, right? Who do I think is playing better right now? Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady? Aaron Rodgers, obviously, right? Yeah. But I really think the Bucs have the scariest defense in the playoffs. I mean, Devin White's a bad man. Like, I don't think anybody has middle linebackers like us. I don't know. Our defensive line is just filthy. And now Vita Vea is practicing again. I mean, he needs to be double teamed constantly. And then you have Ndamukong Suh. And then you have Shaq Barrett. Like, and then you have Devin White sometimes coming off the edge. Like, it's just, we're a blitz happy team. I see the Bucs winning this by two scores easily.
Ooh, I'm not to disagree with you on that. Green Bay, definitely, not just Green Bay as a whole, but just they have this one man, this one bad man on the roster that's not going to let them lose by two touchdowns in the playoffs. His name goes by Aaron Rodgers. You see what he can do. Unfortunately, you know, the Green Bay Packers did lose to my Arizona Cardinals back in 2014. Even after he threw that Hail Mary, you know, Fitzgerald had to come in clutch for us. But I believe
– you're bringing it back to 2014.
Yes, I am. Sorry for all the Wisconsin Packer fans here listening into this podcast. But I do believe that the Packers are going to put up a fight. I can't personally say who's going to win because the Bucs did look good in their last game in the win over the New Orleans Saints after the Saints were leading. But that's just Tom Brady for you. Definitely one of the best quarterbacks of all time, if not the greatest quarterback of all time. But Aaron Rodgers definitely has put up a case for himself as well to being one of the best of all time. But it's going to be a good game, though, Keegan. Davante Adams definitely has shown that he's one of the best players in the league.
That's one thing I was going to touch on for sure. We played him when we played Green Bay back in Raymond James in Tampa, right?
Yeah.
Final score was 38-10. Mm-hmm. Bucks took it. our defense balled out. Our defense won us that game. Our defense gave us the momentum. I mean, Aaron Rodgers threw a pick six at the beginning of the game. Like, it's just if we can get out to the front foot and we can start like we did last game, which, I mean, is hard to ask for because of how well our defense played. I think we can take them. I think we beat them by 14. Like I said, 10 or 14 points. I think the Bucks and Bills go to the Super Bowl.
That would be a good Super Bowl. Definitely seeing a young Bills team versus Tom Brady, who's going to make his case for the greatest of all time, have with 7 rings if he wins. That would be nice to see.
Yeah, for sure. I understand people are telling me, like, and I see it all the time. I don't know if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers can play in the cold. The weather isn't going to be a problem. I've said it countless times. You think Tom Brady's scared of the cold?
No.
He's played in New England for his entire career. I mean, played college at Michigan. He's played in the cold. You know what I mean? And if your quarterback can throw the ball in the cold, it's hard. That's why Aaron Rodgers plays so good. And our offensive line. I was going to touch on that as well. Our offensive line is playing extraordinary. Like, this is the best Bucs offensive line I've seen since I've been alive. We have been known for having the worst offensive line, probably in the NFL. Donovan Smith is just playing. He's playing so well. I mean, he just destroyed Chase Young. Like, it wasn't even a question. Like, Chase Young coming in was one of those hot young rookies, right? Who was supposed to get to Tom Brady, right? When we played Washington, he was supposed to get to Tom Brady, and just nothing was there. You know what I mean? Like, I think we have a great offensive line, obviously great receivers. I know Antonio Brown's dealing with an injury right now, but if you don't have Antonio Brown, who do you have? You have Mike Evans. You have Chris Godwin. You got Scotty Miller on the deep ball. You have Rob Gronkowski. I mean, it just goes on and on. You know what I mean, Jimmy? Like, it's on and on and on our roster.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
I think it's going to be the game of the playoffs, though. I think this is going to be the best game, even though I said the Bills game is going to be 21-24. I do think just all the hype around this game is going to bring a crazy outcome. I mean, it's 12 against 12. It's Brady against Rodgers. So you don't get better than that in an NFC championship. So
that is true. That is very true. And for the age that they are, they definitely do not look like they're declining quarterbacks at all. Like, obviously you can tell because they're both playing for the, I believe, what is it, NFC championship. So it's gonna be a good weekend.
Yeah. And to touch on a little bit on the running game with the Bucks, we saw the little light that the Los Angeles Rams had last week was running the ball. Cam Akers, I feel like if they would have given the ball a little more than they did, I feel like they could have made a different, it would have been a different outcome. I think the Packers struggle defensively against the run, and it's been proven multiple times. And now Ronald Jones is healthy. We have Leonard Fournette backing him up. It looks tough for the Packers right now. I just think we have too many weapons.
You guys definitely do. I cannot disagree with you there, Keegan.
So with that being said, I mean, so did you say the Bucks? Who do you have winning that game?
When it comes down to it, at the end of the day, I hate to admit it, but I definitely do have the Bucks winning this game just because they have definitely the greatest quarterback of all time on their roster. But I do think Green Bay is going to put up a fight. They're not going to lose by 2 touchdowns like how you predicted. But I do think it's going to be either it's going to be by 1 touchdown, or it might eventually be just like the Bills and Chiefs game might end up winning by a field goal. Who knows? They might even go to OT. But I definitely do have the Bucks overall taking the W.
Yeah, I still got us winning by 14. But So going on from that, I mean, you have Bucks Bills like I do in the Super Bowl. I mean, in Tampa Bay, home field advantage in the Super Bowl, which I don't believe has ever happened before. I just think we bring home a Lombardi. I just don't know if the Packers are going to end it for us. And like I said, I think we win it and we go back to Tampa We haven't been there in a couple weeks. We've been away every playoff game. I don't know. I just don't see us losing the next two games. I think we bring home a Lombardi.
I can see that. Definitely, like how you had just mentioned, it is in Tampa, so it will be nice to have Tampa Bay make it all the way and play and have the home field advantage. That would be insane, because obviously they're not going to lose with home field advantage, or they shouldn't lose. Everything, they have the advantage all the way around.
Yep. And I mean, people do say, I mean, Tampa's my team. I've watched them for a while. Our secondary struggles. It does. All right. But Antoine Winfield has played some good football throughout these playoffs, our safety. But Carlton Davis, I really think he did a good job against Devontae Adams last time. Right. And then if it's not him, Sean Murphy Bunting. It's just, I think Carlton Davis, I mean, Devontae Adams didn't have a breakout game against us. I think we played him well. But he was dealing with a hamstring injury. Yeah, he was dealing with a hamstring injury then. I'm going to say it over and over again. I have us beating him.
Yeah, I agree with you.
All right, so switching things over. We got done with the NFL. I'm kind of going to let Jimmy take it away here because he was excited to talk about these Nets. So go ahead.
All right, Keegan. So as you guys all know, the Brooklyn Nets had a trade with three different teams where it sent James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets for Jared Allen, Tyshawn Prince to the Cavs, and then the Rockets received Victor Oladipo and a bunch of first-round picks all the way up until 2028, the Nets' first-round picks, which I believe is insane. But I don't personally like the trade just because not only do the Nets get a big three, but they're all – Kyrie is 29, James Harden is 31, KD is 32. Like, they're all older players. They're not young anymore. They all want to go for one championship. So I believe that this was a good trade for them overall. I know, at least from my knowledge, KD went to the Nets with Kyrie alone. So he can prove himself that he can lead a team on his own. You probably heard about that, Keegan. And obviously, James Harden wanted to get traded there. So now everyone's calling him a snake or calling him a cupcake again. Like, oh, he formed another super team. But I have to disagree because he went to a team on his own. James Harden just happened to be traded there. Maybe because he have had a say in that, potentially. But because James Harden got traded there, you can't blame him, you know, for forming a super team, because he didn't form that super team. I don't know if you agree or disagree, but I'd love to hear your opinion on that as well, Keegan. But I do think that the Nets are going to be something fierce. They're going to be a threat. You know, give it like 3-4 more games. They did lose their game last night to Cleveland Cavaliers, 147-135. Colin Sexton is just third year player.
He's been playing great.
He's a young bull, man. Just scored the Cavs last 20 points from the fourth quarter all the way to both OTs. KD played 50 minutes. Kyrie played 48 minutes. James Harden played 45 minutes. They all played in the 40s, so they're obviously drained. But, yeah, Keegan, I want to hear your opinion. How do you feel about the Nets' big three? What do you think they're going to do? Do you think it's championship or bust? I want to hear, like how you view them. Who do you think is going to be, like, the top dogs in the NBA, in the West, in the East? I know you're from Florida, so Miami's definitely probably going to be one of your picks, but I do want to hear your opinion as well.
All right, I'm gonna go ahead and agree with you in a sense, right? So I think the Nets are winning a championship this year? No. I don't think anybody in the NBA can beat the Lakers in a 7-game series. I don't, to be honest with you. I know the Lakers haven't started off how they like, but would you play that same Lakers team 7 times in a row? I don't think anybody is beating them in a 7-game series. To win a championship.
Okay. I'm sorry, King. I'm about to cut you off right there. I do agree with you that playing that Lakers team in a 7-game series, playing with LeBron in a 7-game series, is going to be difficult. The last team.
They got Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder starting to heat up. Like, I just don't think you got a point guard that can pass the ball, and you have. Two scores like Anthony Davis and LeBron. I don't think, with LeBron being how he's been, I don't think anybody beats him in a seven-game series. I'm sorry.
But you're forgetting my one bad man. You know who I'm talking about.
Kevin Durant, right? Kevin Durant, in my opinion, is the greatest scorer of all time. Okay? I think he is. Okay?
Yep.
I think he is. Like, most people are going to be like, MJ. I didn't get to see MJ play as much as other people think. I mean, I watched highlights. That man is 7 foot tall, has a wingspan that reaches outside of a school bus, and can score like that. Like, it's just not – like, he's not physically fair. Like, it's just – he's a different breed, right?
I think the Nets definitely are winning the East. They're making out the East. Me, as the biggest Kevin Durant fan probably that I am, I think they have the best shot to win against the Lakers in a seven-game series. Because Giannis, as you can tell, he lost in the Miami Heat. You know, he can't carry his own team yet. Even with an all-star and Chris Middleton, they got Drew Holiday. Like, they're not ready. Giannis isn't ready. And the Nets beat the Bucks by 2 points. KD dropped 42.
I'm going to tell you one thing. Jimmy, I'm going to tell you one thing, right?
Yeah.
I think you're forgetting about one team in the East, right?
Who?
Philadelphia 76ers are moving.
Okay,
they're moving.
Let me stop you there, Keegan. I'm gonna tell you why Philly is not ready for the Brooklyn Nets. For one, yes. Like I had mentioned before, Brooklyn did lose in their first game of the series, or not the series. Well, they do play the Cleveland Cavaliers again on Friday, but Brooklyn did lose their first game, being a big three. The big three, James Harden had a triple-double, Kyrie had 30-plus, KD had 38. You know, good game, they lost. But give it a couple more games, no one in the NBA, offensively, is going to be able to hold the Brooklyn Nets team. And to answer your question now, yes, Joel Embiid is having an MVP year. I will give him that. But Ben Simmons hasn't made any improvements. He still can't shoot. Everyone knows he drives. Joel Embiid, you get in his head, at least from what I've seen previous season, you get in his head. He's done. The Nets, we really don't have any big men that can really hold Joel Embiid, but no one on that team on the Sixers can hold KD. Like how you had mentioned, 7 foot, plays like a point guard, 6'9 wingspan, defense is getting a lot better. And on top of that, he's coming off an Achilles injury, the worst injury in sports history. The only player to ever come back and do better was Wilt Chamberlain. And KD's is obviously making a name for himself. He's having an MVP year.
I think Kobe tore his Achilles as well. But the thing is, like, when you come back from an injury like that, you're different. You know what I mean?
Exactly. But
play at the level that they're playing, I'm not disagreeing with you at all that KD isn't like the best scorer to ever grace a game. Do I think he's the best ever? No.
No, he's not the best. He's not yet. What I need right now, KD, to me, he's definitely borderline top 12, most likely top 15 of all time right now.
I mean, I'd place him top 10.
No, not yet. I'm as a KD fan as I am, I think he needs one more MVP and at least one more Finals MVP, and he's in the top 7 of all time. Because you got to think about who's in the top 5. I didn't watch that era growing up, like how you had mentioned, like the Jordans, the Magic Johnsons, the Larry Birds. But to me, KD's better than Larry Bird. Yeah, he has less rings, but he's better than Larry Bird. And if Larry Bird's everyone's top 5, then like how you had just mentioned, KD definitely should be in your top 5. But to me, KD's definitely top 12 right now with what he has, all the accolades he has right now. The 3 years he got injured kind of hurt him, or else he would have more scoring titles, probably another MVP, and they probably would have three-peated against the Raptors if he didn't get hurt in the 2019 finals when Kawhi got that ring in quotations. I'll count it, you know. He won the ring, joined his first-year team, brought him to the championship. But everyone knows if Klay and Durant didn't go down that game, the Warriors would have three-peated. We can't reminisce in the past, but that's just – that goes to show you – this is why, to answer your question, this is why I think Philly's not ready. That just goes to show you how good of a player Kevin Durant is. He was so deadly, even despite being injured, that the Raptors were scared. Warriors end up winning game 6, end up winning game 5, but then they lost in game 6. So – with the Philly now, if they were to play Brooklyn in a 7-game series, because now that Brooklyn has 3 superstars, Keegan, they can go. One player can go for 30 one night. Another player can go for 30 another night. because they're going to get used to playing with each other. They're going to get used to the chemistry. They have three open spots in their roster, so they can sign. I think this
Which I think is crazy. Yeah. I mean, to have three open spots on your roster and to have those three superstars on your team, and I mean, all you need is a big man now. But I just don't think there's a better big man in the NBA than Anthony Davis.
I definitely agree with you.
And like I said, when you have LeBron, when you have Anthony Davis, when you have Morris, like Morris isn't that superstar player. When you have Harold, like those players are just impact players. Dennis Schroeder, those are impact players that help out your superstars. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And I don't think anybody in the NBA can beat the Lakers in a 7-game series. Yeah, can you beat them once? Can you beat them twice? But can you beat LeBron 4 times? Okay,
but ask me this. Besides last year's Lakers team, by the way, they did lose a lot. Yeah, they did gain Montrezl Harrell, Marcus? Yeah, Marcus Morris and then Dennis Schroeder. Yeah, they did gain some good six men of the year players because a lot of them did became six men players. Dennis Schroeder definitely can start as a point guard in the league if he really wanted to. But besides those certain players, LeBron, AD, Kuzma.
I actually think he is starting. I think they do have Schroeder starting.
Well, that's well deserved for him. But anyways, besides LeBron, AD, Kyle, besides like those three specifically, who really realistically on the Lakers has playoff experience? You know what I'm saying? Like everyone in the Nets roster, literally everybody in the roster has playoff experience. DeAndre Jordan has playoff experience. Joe Harris has playoff experience. Then you have
– I completely agree with you there.
You have Kyrie, who has an NBA championship. James Harden went to multiple Western Conference finals. KD's a 2-time finals MVP. You know, and he beat LeBron twice. You can say what you want, or those rings don't count. But in both those years that he played against LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, he has been the best player on the court. You can argue, LeBron averaged a triple-double. Great, he did. But these are two – and this is why this always bores my buttons, because they're two different type of players. Yes, KD, you can say he's known for scoring. But he does more than just score. But his scoring is so elite that he can just win based off of scoring. That's what he did in game three of the 2018 finals when he hit
LeBron. Here's the question I have for you. So in your opinion, right, or it's a fact.
Okay.
LeBron James, Anthony Davis. Well, Anthony Davis now has playoff experience, right? He has that finals. He has experience in there. LeBron James has countless experience, right? The Heat couldn't beat them. They couldn't. And going into that game, I mean, being from Florida, I loved watching the Heat. The Heat were balling. Like, I mean, I think you can agree. Like Jimmy Butler, the Heat were balling, and Jimmy Butler was probably the best. I think he was the best scorer in those playoffs. I don't know about you. I think he was his mindset that no one could beat him sent him to a new level. But again. When you have LeBron-type experience in the finals, it's like Tom Brady, for example, right? Who has more experience going to Super Bowls, right? Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers?
Tom Brady.
If you're going off your logic, then that – you know what I mean? Like, I just don't think I don't think it'll ever change that. I don't think anybody right now can beat LeBron and Anthony Davis in a 7-game series. I don't think that'll ever change my mind.
I think – to add to your point, you do make a very valid point, but you know, it was just game one of the big three Nets together. The Lakers will probably acquire some other players during free agency. The Nets have three open spots, like I had just mentioned. I think if we're being realistic, if the Nets stay the same, because I have been hearing rumors that they want to trade Kyrie for depth, and that would make sense. You know, that James Harden KD duo, two games together. But I do agree with you. It's going to be hard to beat LeBron, let alone LeBron, but then you add AD on top of that, you know, in a 7-game series. But this Nets team's just different, Keegan, and you had already mentioned it. Yes, the Heat team, they lost LeBron to the Lakers, but you also got to think about it. You're from Florida. I can't believe you didn't even mention it. Your team was injured. Your starting point guard was injured. Bam clearly wasn't playing to the best of his potential.
You're right.
And I was talking
about experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
And they all were rookies, you know? Like, this was Jimmy Butler's first final as well. Like,
Tyler Hero had a playoff of the century. Like, he had a great playoff. I don't know. I just, like I was saying, that's seven games you got to go through LeBron.
Hey, but you got to, what? Hey, you're right. It is seven games. But for that Heat team to take them to six, even me, I was impressed.
You're right.
I was very impressed.
I was impressed too.
So if you're telling me, I'm sorry to cut you off. So if you're telling me, if that Heat team, being the way they were, injured and everything, tired, you know, first playoff for literally almost everybody in the team, literally everybody in the team, besides Iguodala. If you're telling me that team can take LeBron and the Lakers to six, you don't think the Brooklyn Nets can take it to seven and potentially win? Even win in like five or six themselves with three basically everybody, the whole starting five has playoff experience. Kevin Durant's a two-time Finals MVP. Kyrie Irving is one of the clutchest players in the NBA. And then you just have James Harden, who's just very, very ball dominant, but he's starting to learn the game and become more of a facilitator.
That's one of the things I'm worried about, though. That's one of the things that scares me. Do I think, like I said, nobody can beat, in my eyes, nobody can beat LeBron in the seven-game series. Do I think that LeBron, or do I think that James Harden, KD, and Kyrie team has the best chance? Yeah. But the thing that always scares me about, like, things like that, with stuff like that, is they all want the ball. You know what I mean? Like, they all need the ball to score.
So,
right? They like,
So, all right. Now you got me trying to argue with you on this. Okay. So, first of all, I'm not going to disagree with you. They all do need the ball. But I know you watch a lot of basketball. I know you do because you're an athlete. Athletes watch all sport. But you got to understand, Keegan, the only player that's not – a ball dominant player. He's ball dominant. Let me rephrase that. But he doesn't need the ball in his hands because he's a bucket getter. He's gonna get his bucks regardless. It's Kevin Durant. You see what he did when he was with the Warriors. James Harden, he mentioned it in an interview when he joined the Brooklyn Nets. He's not selfish. He'll pass the ball. If he sees someone's hot, he's gonna give it to them. Only one I'm worried about from what you had just said is Kyrie Irving. Because you're right, Kyrie Irving, and I witnessed it. I watched the game.
That's right, I agree. That's where I agree. Yeah. Because you need your point guard to run the offense, and most of if I'm the coach, I want KD to bring the ball up the court.
Oh, I just think
he's just a demon. Like, he can't. And what is Kyrie going to do? Sit in the corner?
I just think,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, I agree. I just think from last night's game that Kyrie coming down in the it was second overtime. I'm about to break it down for you. I don't know if you watched the game at all, but the first two plays the Brooklyn Nets have. First two plays that they get, Kyrie tries to go one-on-one. Yeah, he's a magician with the ball. You know what I mean? Like, he's, you know, they call him Uncle Drew for a reason. He's disgusting with the ball. Handles is amazing, everything. But he missed both his shots. You know, like, I think right there, then and there, I was on TikTok too yesterday. And there was this guy, just a random guy, you know, it's TikTok. He was watching the game. He was recording the game. He said, pass KD the ball. Pass KD the ball. Because everyone knows it's KD versus Larry.
KD will get a bucket.
Exactly. And he's going against Larry Nance Jr. Don't get me wrong. Larry Nance Jr., man, that's a good big man. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's 6'10", KD 6'11". They're basically the same height. But KD's just his shooting form, the way he shoots with his 6'9 wingspan, regardless how tall you are, he's it's going to be contested.
He's a demon, yeah.
Yeah.
I get that. We're gonna go ahead and end it off with this, though. All right. One more thing before I go into this topic. Who do you think's winning? The Rookie of the Year is a big question, right? LaMelo Ball has been balling. Like, I didn't think, just seeing his brother going in the league. Well, I mean, I was a big Ball Brothers fan. I watched him all the time, right? I was one of those people who would go into their school and watch him on YouTube, Chino Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't know what happened to Lonzo, but LaMelo has a different type of confidence. It's different.
I just think with being the younger brother and all, he's got to learn and see, you know, the adversity that Lonzo had to face being in the NBA. And just he went overseas instead of playing college. So he had already.
He did get pro experience. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. But, and I do agree with you on this take with the Rookie of the Year. I know you didn't finish what you're about to say, but LaMelo, even though he's not a starter yet, which I'm pretty shocked about, he is leading all rookies.
That shocks me. Like, yeah. Really, really shocks me. I mean, they do have Terry Rozier, and Grant, but I think he should be a starter.
I think it's not his time yet because Anthony Edwards, same with him, he's leading all rookies in scoring, but LaMelo leads all rookies in every other statistical category. But Anthony Edwards, not in scoring specifically, but points per game. He's averaging about 15, 16 points per game. So Anthony Edwards is making a case as well. Minnesota is obviously 3-10 now, so I guess you really can't consider him for Rookie of the Year. But it's still early in the year, but I'm gonna have to pick LaMelo Ball. He's just like how you have Nathan. He's a different breed. He's insane.
I mean, when you're 6'9", right, can handle the ball like he can and have the vision and to be able to – not even just the vision. Like, he can – everybody can see it, right? He can do it. Like, there's multiple times where he's looking the complete opposite way and he throws behind-the-back pass and it's a bucket. Like, you don't know what he's going to do when he gets the ball. It was quoted by one of his teammates. I think it was Devontae Graham, I think. They said – The opposing team doesn't know, and even their team doesn't know what he's going to do when he gets the ball. Like, some of the time, they have no idea. That's how elusive LaMelo Ball is. Yeah, and I think he'll be dangerous growing up in the NBA.
And I think to add on to your take, the Charlotte Hornets right now, they're 11th.
They're looking good. They're looking good.
Yeah, they're 11th in the East. They're one game away. They're 6-8. The sixth seed is 7-7. 6-8 is 7-7, 7-7, 7-8. 9-7, 8. So 6-11, Keegan, the Nets, not the Nets, my bad. The Hornets have a good shot of making the playoffs, potentially being a top six seed if they keep up. Yeah, they're 6-8 right now, but once they pick it up, because like how you had mentioned, once LaMelo starts getting used to playing the NBA, the pace, the level of intensity, and Gordon Hayward, he's been playing amazing. You know, we can't forget about
one of his best years. Yeah, I think that was a steal for them for sure.
Exactly.
He's just been. Like, he's just their scorer, you know what I mean? Like, he gets the job done.
Yeah, and it's crazy how the NBA is just drastically changing. People can say that, and I'm probably one of those people. People can say that the NBA has gotten softer because you can't get physical players anymore, and it's kind of true compared to the era back then with MJ and Magic and Bird compared to now. Mm-hmm. That's why people want to consider LeBron the greatest of all time, just because like everything is like you barely get touched, it's a foul. But I'm not, you know, downplaying
that Detroit Pistons and Bulls series. Whew.
It's insane. Yeah, I'm not downplaying. You know, LeBron James, Keegan. You know, because I respect him. I respect his game. I respect what he does outside of basketball. But the greatest of all time, and I agree with you because I think you had mentioned it at the beginning of the podcast. Is definitely Michael Jeffrey Jordan. You know, 6 rings, 6-0 in the finals.
Yeah, to throw in his middle name.
Yeah, I had to because, you know, you can't disrespect the GOAT, man. Like, don't get me wrong. LeBron, and you can agree with me here. You have to. LeBron is the greatest all-around player of all time, all around. But if you're talking about the mentality to win, to score, to lead your teammates to a championship,
he's the best to do it.
Yeah, it's Michael Jordan. Don't get me wrong. LeBron, obviously, you see what he did. He, you know, brought the
clean. Yeah, he's –
Yeah, you know.
He's different, but like you said, like Michael Jordan is just something you can't argue about. He changed the NBA. You know what I mean? Like it was, like people would watch it here and there. Like it wasn't like the biggest. Like Michael Jordan brought attention to the NBA.
Yes, agreed. And his shoes are still like when he first came to the league. Yeah, his shoes when he got that shoe deal when in the documentary. Like, it's just crazy. Like, Jordan was just big. It was the biggest brand in the NBA at that point.
Exactly.
And it's still one of the biggest brands to this day. I mean, Nike had bought them out, unfortunately. But there's, like, Jordan's still a big brand to be worn anywhere.
Here's what I'm gonna leave us off on before we end it, all right? Going back to college football, all right? I don't know what's all going to happen with the Jets randomly winning games at the end of the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their draft stocks fell, obviously. So the Jacksonville Jaguars have the first pick of the draft, right? Unless they trade it away, which I highly doubt. They need a quarterback. I'm looking at the names here. Who do you think they draft number one overall? I mean, we have Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson from BYU. I don't know. I think that O-line is a little bit shaky, so I think they go Justin Fields.
Mobile quarterback, young, had a good season in Ohio. I can see that.
Yeah, I mean Trevor Lawrence, everybody's talking about he's the number one draft prospect, but Justin Fields is nasty. He can play. Like I think Trevor Lawrence actually I think he falls. Not only because like of the college football playoffs. But I just think he didn't show. I mean, he came back after injury when they lost Notre Dame early in the year. He came back and proved like when I'm here, that doesn't happen. You know what I mean? Like, because they lost Notre Dame early in the season, and then he came back and just it wasn't even fair, right? But I've seen many things, right, with this Devontae Smith too, that wide receiver that won the Heisman, right? I think the Jets take Devontae Smith and Jacksonville takes Fields. And then it's scary for me to say it, but I think Trevor Lawrence falls to the Falcons.
That wouldn't be a bad pick though. He can learn. If the Falcons keep Matt Ryan, he can learn under Matt Ryan.
Here's why I say that. The Miami Dolphins just drafted Tua Tagovailoa, right? Mm-hmm. So the draft order goes Jacksonville, New York, the Jets, Miami Dolphins, Atlanta, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, Detroit, and Carolina, right?
Okay.
Jacksonville, I already told you. I think they're taking Fields. The Jets need either alignment. Here's what I think about the Jets. I think Sam Darnold has talent. I don't think he's a bad quarterback at all, right? Yeah, I mean, he balled at USC. Like, he's not, when you give him absolute, when his best target is Jameson Crowder or Rashad Perriman, who didn't play for the Buccaneers, like, you can't expect a quarterback to throw to a player who has absolutely no one on his team. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. So, I think they take Devontae Smith and give him a weapon. And I think the Miami Dolphins go defense or go O-line because, I mean, I don't know. I just don't think they need a quarterback. I think Tua has some experience. I think he needs some experience. I think he's learning from Fitzpatrick. But I don't think they should just go away from Tua this fast. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand. I agree with you there because he is – when he was playing in games, you obviously saw he brought the Dolphins almost – you know, they were a playoff team. They obviously didn't go at the end of the season. But – He has talent, you know. He definitely can, you know, if once he leads the team on his own, because he didn't play until like what? You watch more football than I do. He didn't play until like what, mid-year most likely?
Yeah, I think it was like week six, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
I think it was like, week six.
Let him start from week one. I think the Dolphins are a playoff team moving forward under his leadership.
Yeah, I agree with that. And Tua beat the Rams, a playoff team, his first game. Right, I mean, he didn't play amazing, but I mean, he won against the Rams. You know what I mean? So, like I said, I think which is scary for me to say, I think because they're in our division, I think Trevor Lawrence goes to the Atlanta Falcons. But here's where things get a little crazy. I'm scared to see what the Patriots do in the draft. Right? Here's why: the Patriots. I mean, what pick do they have? Let's see. The Patriots have the 15th pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think Cam's staying there? I don't.
No.
I don't even know if they've already released him. I think he's gone.
He's right? Gone.
He didn't do what he needed to do. All right? He's been working out all summer, and he didn't play good. He just didn't perform. I think they draft Mac Jones from Alabama.
Ooh. He had a great year. You know, him and Devontae? That was a good duo.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, like, kind of hate on Patriots fans, but he's what Bill Belichick likes. I mean, like, think Tom Brady. Like, when you look at them together, I mean, they're not obviously identical. Unathletic, right? Can throw the football. And pocket passers, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it would remind me of a younger Tom. Like, he's just not as big, but I really think the Patriots go Mac Jones, which is scary. Right? Because that gives them, I mean, if he plays good, that gives them their franchise quarterback.
All right. And then that's going to do it for this one, Jimmy. We're going to be on here once a week. So we will catch you on the next one.
Jack and Jill Show is hosted weekly by Greg Gilmore, that's me, and Mike Lennon. The show is crudely edited by yours truly, me again, and produced by our sports information department. That's me and Mike. Our artwork was designed by Michaela Issett-Williams. A special thanks to Northern College for letting us do this. Northern College is a small private liberal arts school located on the shores of Lake Superior. Come check us out online at northland.edu. This is a special place. Come see it for yourself in person. You won't be disappointed.